Acts chapter 17. We're going to pray, but I want to tell you just briefly what's going on. Paul, in verse 16, has gone to Athens, and he is waiting for Timothy and Silas to get there. While he's there, he sees the city, in verse 16, wholly given to idolatry, and it has stirred him up. You see it. His spirit was stirred in him. So he wants to talk to these guys. But before he does, the Bible describes for us what the situation was in Athens in verse 21. All the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So they're willing to listen to Paul because they're interested in what he had to say, some new thing. Acts chapter 17, verse 21 is a parenthetical. In other words, you see what's going on in verse 19. They took him, that's Paul, and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. Parenthesis, describing the Athenians and the strangers that lived in Athens. All the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So this doctrine, which really isn't new because Jesus Christ, right, was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This doctrine is older than the world, but to them it was new. And so they're going to give him space to preach the gospel. You know, their attitude about some new thing is not much different than our attitude about some new thing. We live in a society, we really live in a world that is waiting to hear some new thing. And one of the things that makes news or something news is that it's new, N-E-W, right? News. So what's the news? That's what people will ask, right? Or they'll say, what's new? So we have that expression that goes on today, and a lot of people like to check an app, check a station, check the weather, check social media, because it's ever changing. So you're going to, you know, it appeals to this sense of wanting to hear something that's like new on the street today. But I want to give you some thoughts. This is a very practical message. This does not have a deep spiritual effect, but it has a subtle spiritual effect on your life, and it can probably protect you. It definitely will protect you if you get taken into a conversation about some new thing, find out later that it pulled you off course. In other words, there are popular notions that are new. And people say they'll repeat those popular notions, and they get repeated often enough until when you hear it, you believe that it's so. It was funny when the anesthesiologist was interviewing Ann today, any of you that had surgery, you know, all the typical questions that have to be asked. And he asked her a question, which she answered, and he looked at her and smiled. He said, it's really something, isn't it? Any medical event in your life now is either blamed on COVID or the shot. But you know what that is? There are a lot of people who say that. And so consequently, it's a popular notion that builds up a lot of traction, and there are people who firmly believe that if you have a medical problem, it happened either because you've had COVID or because you were stupid enough. That's the way they put it, right? It could be a criticism against another person. It could be an improved method of ministry. Oh, if you'll just do this, you'll have a church full of people. Let me just give you some very, very practical things that will keep you out of trouble concerning some new thing. Number one, don't go looking for some new thing. Now, these guys showed up every day to see who had the new news. So when Paul came to town and started preaching, hey, here's something new. Let's hear what this guy has to say. Don't go looking for some new thing. People have always been curious about and interested in news. Today, some of us are, make fun of social media or critical of it, or, talk about parameters that you should follow in handling. May I tell you what? People haven't changed. They did it over the fence when we were kids. Or they did it on the rotary dial telephone when we were kids. People have not changed in that regard. The means of communication has changed. New news tugs on you like a magnet and increases your appetite for more new news. If you get used to hearing it, you want more. But what happens is it draws you away from the Bible and diminishes your appetite for the Word of God. Because this is not new. This book that I have up here on the pulpit has been around for over 400 years in English. In English. But Jeremiah chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, we are told. Did you say it? No, that's that. Nothing new under the sun is going to be in Ecclesiastes, but that's also good. He says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, no, we will not walk therein. The old paths are good. Somebody said, the path to good water is well worn. Yeah, we need the old paths. You and I should have learned by now that just because it's new doesn't mean it's better. This old Bible that I'm preaching out of, that one you read, there's nothing in English that will top it. It's the best by far. And when you spend time with it, rather than with the new stuff, you hunger for more of it. You hunger for more of God's words. And this is the benefit, you have a whole lot better handle on the new news that comes from the people that are always looking for something new. Because when they speak, you're reminded of what you've been reading in the Bible. Like, no, that doesn't make sense. No, that sounds like nonsense. That's not going to work. Imagine back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, on into these days, if everybody, every household had parents that would sit down with children and read these words with an appetite, how much mileage do you think evolution would have gained? Because it's preposterous. There was nothing there and it blew up one day and all this arrived. In order, not chaos. People say they call it the Big Bang. Tony said the other day, they therefore are admitting that it had a beginning. And that's cleverly how the Bible starts, in the beginning. And then he shows you how it rolls out. And so what happens is when you get away from this, you lose your bearing and you don't then know how to judge what's coming in new. So don't go looking for some new thing. You spend time with the old stuff. The path to good water is well worn. I'm telling you what, it will give you a much better perspective on what's going on than anything a commentator in the news would try to give you. Or on the street. All right, number two, when you hear some new thing, and you will, you don't have to be looking for it. It'll come to you. When you hear some new thing, don't believe it unless you can prove it or verify it. Don't believe it unless you can verify it. And I would say more than one trip to your favorite internet site would be required to verify most of what you hear. Because you want to be absolutely 100% certain that it's true before you believe it. You know, and the problem is to verify whether something you've heard is true is going to take you quite a bit of time searching credible sources. And you're like, I don't have time for that. If it's too time consuming or too much effort to verify what you've heard, then let it go. It's not worth getting an emotional reaction to it. You know, any amount of verification these days is going to get harder and harder because their truth is being disguised. Fiction is being disguised as truth very well today. All right, so it's not true just because there are many people that are saying it's true or believing that it's true. Consider the crucifixion. You know, the chief priests and the elders stirred up all the people to convince them that Jesus Christ was a usurper, that he was trying to establish his own kingdom down here, got them to cry out for Jesus' crucifixion, and they crucified him. There was a big mob scene of people that had something bad to say about Jesus Christ. And it was all fabricated. It was all false. So don't, just because the mob is after it, or just because you hear it in many different circles, doesn't mean that it's true. It's not true just because you've seen a picture of it. Particularly these days when things can be photoshopped, and even now more so with artificial intelligence. Things can be manufactured and fabricated completely out of thin air. So it's not true just because you've seen a picture of it. And it's not true just because you want to believe it. You know, this may run down your favorite line of thinking. You know, like, oh, I knew it was so. Man, you know, you've just fed my fire. And it's not true just because you want to believe it. Consider the Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe what they believe with all their heart, but they are dead wrong. Dead wrong. So be very careful. You got to be careful with it. And, you know, I would say this, if you can't verify it or don't want to take the time to verify it, then let's let it go. Because it's not worth, you've only got so much brain capacity. And that's questionable in some cases, how much that really is. But you only have so much brain capacity. You make sure to store some stuff up there that's worth retrieving later. Let the other stuff go. Leave room for the good stuff. So don't go looking for some new thing. And when you hear some new thing, don't believe it unless you can verify it. Now, if you hear something about a person along this line of hearing some new thing, did you hear that so-and-so, such-and-such? And you're inclined to want to believe that because maybe you don't like the person, or maybe you always had suspicions about this person. Before you latch on to that, I mean, if it's really going to affect your relationship with this person or your thoughts about this person or what you might say about this person, you know what? Do them the honor of asking them whether it's so. Well, they might lie to me. Well, you can pose the questions. But a lot of times what happens is, you know, you say, but I'd be too embarrassed to ask them. I'm too afraid to ask them. Then let it go. Really? Let it go. It could very well be that what you heard is not true, that in fact it's a lie. And if it's not true, if you find out it's not true, be very, very cautious with the person who told you on good authority that it was true. Because that makes suspect anything else they might tell you in the future about other people or what they might repeat about what you've said. Be very, very, very careful with that. I just wouldn't go and ask them about that. I might ask so-and-so. I think he or she might. Yeah, they probably don't know any more than you do, or maybe less, or maybe they don't care. Don't get into that. Your country is becoming more and more concerned. You know, back in the days in Germany there with World War II, people were snitching on each other. And with these neighborhood watches and all that, you get a little bit more of that feel going on. So be very careful. Very careful what you hear somebody else is telling you about somebody else. Be very, very careful. Probably ought to let that go in one ear and out the other. You know, I would say this then finally. Even if you verify that some new thing is true, don't repeat it. I mean, you do not have to be the first person on the block with the new news. But I know that's in us. I mean, I realize that's the nature of man. I realize that. You remember, I was in the banking business, right? You remember that. And I was in a small town, 15,000 people. So the coffee shop opened up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And there were those tables for four. There were three of those put together. So there were whatever that was, 12 or 10 or 15, whatever, how many we could jam around those tables. We'd get in there, and that thing would load up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was good till about 9:30 in the morning when the lawyers got through. So, you know, people would come and go, come and go, come and go. But, man, you could just see a guy when he walked in the door to the cafe was from where I am, about where Cody is. That door would open, and that table where we were, you'd look up there, and, oh, here comes so-and-so. And if he had that look on his face like, man, I just heard, you know, everybody was like, sit down and let's hear the news. Okay. It's just in you to want to go wave the flag. You know what I heard? If you could verify the thing is true, really, you don't have to be the one. You don't have to be the one that brought it to the coffee shop, okay? Let me tell you one quick funny story about the coffee shop, okay? And then we'll, so this, I'm going to give you, this is a serious thing. Like I said, it's not deep. Doesn't have to be deep, but it is profound, what you're hearing tonight. But there at the coffee shop back when I used to go, coffee was 2 bits. For those of you who don't know what 2 bits is, that's a quarter. Yeah, 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar. Okay, so 2 bits is a quarter. And there was tax, so 27 cents. So I get there one morning, and I'm sitting at I didn't want to sit at the head of the table. It's just that's the chair that was open, and you take the open chair. So I'm sitting here. Then this chair to my left opens, and in walks the chief of police, Bill McConnell. He sits down. And the water in Beeville was so bad out of those deep wells in that aquifer that it was loaded up with, it was ionized because it had so much mineral in it. So it was like putting your tongue on a radio battery. So you had to put sugar and cream in it to tolerate it. So every cup was served on a saucer in a cup with a spoon in it. All right? So they bring Bill's, Chief McConnell's coffee. Boom, right there with the spoon. And he is in the middle of a yarn. Boy, he is telling that story. And when he gets to the end of it, he goes, and I'm telling you, he just went like that. And when he did, he hit that spoon, and that coffee cup flipped. I'm wearing a $500 Hart Schaffner and Mark suit with a silk tie. And I mean, from here to my knees, I am soaked in coffee. Thanks. I dry out, finally go to the counter to pay out. Waitress said, that'll be 48 cents. I said, whoa, you gone up on your coffee? She said, no, it's 27 cents if you drink it here. It's 48 cents if you take it to go. Quick. Ay, ay, ay. Look, you don't want the reputation of being the church gossip. Did you hear about? You don't want that reputation. If it's something that crosses ethical lines or legal lines, it's going to work its way into, right, mainstream without your help. Hey, you have to just really be careful with that. Most of the stuff you could repeat doesn't pertain to you anyway, and it's really no one else's business either. It really isn't. You might want to make it the other person's business for whatever reason, but be very careful with this. Because there may be more than what you know to the situation that you think you know. other things that should be known. You know, you have to ask yourself the question, what's the motive of the person that's telling you? Well, why are they telling you? Perhaps they're telling you hoping you'll tell it, so then it now goes out on your credibility rather than theirs because they've lost their credibility. So they're going to borrow yours to fan that story. You wouldn't want your endorsement to now be the authentication of something that shouldn't be told. Perhaps they need you to support their cause in telling you. Maybe they're trying to get up a mob. Be very careful with that. You see, it's this kind of thing that affects you in your family. It affects you in your workplace. It affects you in your associations. It affects you in your church. Because we have associations with a lot of different pastors around, our pastors, you know, we've had the preachers' conference and things, there's just a temptation for this stuff to get into a church and destroy something good. The tongue, according to James, is an unruly evil. You just don't want a bad spirit to get on that thing and then start affecting relationships with people that you love. And the next thing you know, it's turned to chaos. And you say, how'd that happen? It's just, we didn't know what to do with the new stuff we were hearing. Best thing to do is let it go. It really is. Stick with this old book right here. You want to talk about something worth talking about? How about what's in here? This is really lovely. Father, thank you tonight. Just some very practical counsel that's good for all of us. I need it as much as anybody in the room, and I pray we'll attend to it. We'll pay attention to it and follow it. We don't have to be like the Athenians and the strangers that lived in Athens. We're God's people. Let us be like Paul and speak those things that they really need to hear. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.